when conducting this research, did you find much surprising about people and their relationship and their relationships with music?
Yeah, I guess a couple of things really surprised me when we did the survey. So no one had really looked at couple songs before with research. So, you know, it's kind of a cultural phenomenon, but we didn't really know how common it was and sort of how they come about. So I just wanted to ask people. It was really straightforward. I basically just, you know, asked 200 people in relationships about whether they had a couple song, and if they did, sort of how it came about and why it was their song. And I think the most surprising thing for me was how prevalent it was. So about 2/3 of people said they did have a couple song, and also how early in relationships people get them. So generally people reported that they acquired the couple song within the first few months of their relationship, and I found that quite surprising. I wasn't expecting that at all. And the other thing I found surprising was that people really report that they don't go around listening to their couple song very regularly. So if I ask people, you know, do you play your couple song from time to time, they would say no, we really don't. And so, you know, I still find it just a curious phenomenon that, you know, people have them quite frequently, they get them early in relationships, but they don't really listen to them, so they're doing something else.
Could really any song be a couple song?
Totally. That was definitely what I found. There was extreme diversity in the songs. So it wasn't that it was all just, you know, the most romantic song that was in the charts when you were getting together. Of the people who reported songs, there was virtually zero overlap. So almost all of them were unique. And, you know, some of them were obviously romantic songs and some of them really were obviously unromantic songs. So, you know, something like Comfortably Numb. Yeah, so really any song could be a couple song. It didn't have to be some smolchy romantic song.
And was there some idea of how they actually, I mean, come about? Does one partner decide for the other? Is it a mutual vote between partners typically?
I was really curious about this as well, and sort of how people know that their couple song is their song. And so when I asked people that, you know, did you have a discussion and agree that this was your couple song? And about half the time people said that they did. So they had sort of explicitly said to their partner, you know, should this be our song? Maybe this is our song. But about half the time people said they didn't. So it's like, we both just know this is our song. We've never talked about it. It's never come up, but we both just know. And I thought that was another really curious aspect to the kind of organic nature of how they come about and how they're linked to memory and identity.
Well, one of the great things with music is it does cut through very closely to our emotions. I don't think anything cuts through to emotions as easily as music does. But in terms of, as you mentioned there, relating it back to memory and well-being, what did the research kind of uncover?
So what I found was that people who had a couple song reported more relationship intimacy. So it seemed to be better for relationships. And so that was interesting to me, because it seems like maybe having a song is actually doing some work in a relationship of helping you to have this sort of joint couple identity. And maybe that helps us to understand why it is that people have songs and get them early, but actually don't really go around listening to their song as such, because it's not the listening that really matters. It's the having and having cemented your couple identity in that way. So there was that link with relationship quality and intimacy that I thought was quite interesting.
And so it almost like it's like a trigger for that relationship. You might not listen to it over and over again, but in years from now, you will sort of be triggered into that memory.
By the song. Just having it is enough, which is interesting.
What happens to a couple song, though, if the relationship doesn't work out?
Yeah, that's a good question. So in the research that I did so far, I only looked at people who were in, you know, talking about their current relationship. And generally I found that, you know, the songs were associated with positive feelings and with positive memories. So it's a clear question what happens once that's no longer the case, once the associations might not be positive. So I'm in the midst of conducting some follow-up research, getting people to talk about both current and past relationships and seeing if there's a difference, just even in the rates at which people report having songs, because it might be that once the relationship is over, you know, you kind of forget or don't report anymore that you had a couple song. You don't identify with it as strongly. But also if the emotions associated and the memories associated with it have changed.
Well,
I don't know is the short answer, but I'll be able to tell you soon.
Well, that's just it. Best of luck with your research going forward, Celia. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Celia Harris talking to us about couple songs, sharing a special song in your relationship and the effect it can have on you and, well, your feelings and your memories within that relationship. If you want to read more, you can check out the article at lighthouse.mq.edu.au. They have an article there, The Couple Song Phenomenon.